This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Merry Christmas, man. It is, we're a week away, dude. Not even a week away. We're in full gear here around the Country Squire, and, man, things are rocking and rolling.
So. Yeah, you're not lying, man. We're in full gear here.
I feel
here.
Like everyone I know is just, very busy right now.
It
you
is.
Know? It's kind of the tizzy that builds up to the big day, and then, of course, we're all, stuffed with goodies and fine delicacy foods and wine and other things and so we kind of try to chill out afterwards.
So we're in a tizzy, are we?
I think it's a tizzy.
It's a tizzy.
Don't you? Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Tizzy the season for sure. I will say this. You know, this has been a unique year for us because we've been doing a holiday suite of shows. Last week we did our holiday blends, Christmas blends for the year 2016. This particular episode is very Christmas centric. We'll be talking about a unique pipe smoking hero here in a little bit. And then next week we're doing something very different, which is we're bringing the listeners in on a pipe, Christmas party, essentially.
It's
something that we've never, I don't think, really ever done before.
Kind of bringing it to life, I guess. We're making it accessible maybe for folks that couldn't come to that kind of thing.
Yeah. So next week in the in-between of Christmas and New Year's, we'll be kind of continuing on the Christmas season by bringing you into our local pipe community and the Christmas party that we have here at the Country Squire. It'll be different, but it'll also hopefully be very enjoyable. So check that out, and it should be really fun.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, man. You know, are you? I know that you've been extremely busy with people coming in and buying presents. I'm kind of curious. In the midst of the Christmas rush, has there been like a particular pipe that's been selling more so than others this year for Christmas presents?
Yeah, there really has. We're doing a lot of Meerschaum pipes this year, which has been really, really cool. Of course, we've got a bunch of them right now. But it seems that that's been kind of a common theme, you know, just lots of Meerschaum pipes. So, and you know, if you think about it, I'm smoking mine tonight now.
Yeah, it's
so
beautiful.
But that is kind of a, you think of it as kind of a Christmassy thing, right? It's something you might not smoke all year, but, I don't know. It just, the Meerschaum fits Christmas time. So, good, you know, obviously, lots of other things are selling themselves as they always do. Like, the Savinelli's always move really well this time of year, and Peterson's and Nordings and things of that nature. This has been the year of the Meerschaum, and we're happy about that. So,
and I'm glad. Yeah. There is something Christmassy about Meerschaum pipes. And just the beauty of them. And, maybe it's
kind of right. Yeah.
It's like the white, like snow. Now we don't really know what snow looks like here in Jackson, Mississippi. I understand.
I've heard about it before.
From what I understand,
in the books of lore of the olden days, I've heard that this white powder substance comes from the sky.
The weird thing is they say that it's actually water. You just get it cold enough and that's what happens.
I don't believe it.
That's what they say.
I think it's like teardrops from dragons or something. I don't know.
Another thing that's happening right now in the midst of this holiday season is that Star Wars Rogue One is now officially in theaters.
I hadn't seen it. Don't say anything.
Why? I am like the only person. And I waited a full day like before I went to go see it. And I thought for sure that I would be the one that was kind of, you know, pulling up the rear here. But everybody I've talked to, nobody has seen it yet. I can't talk to anybody about it.
Well, you know me. I'm just not a movie watcher. So, I mean,
but it's Star Wars.
I know. Of course I'm going to go see the Star Wars movie. Like, I'm just going to. It's part of the new universe and all this stuff. But, I'm not the first to jump on. You know, I'm always kind of late to the party. So,
No. This you will not be disappointed. I'll just say that fans of the classic Star Wars are gonna really get a kick out of this one. It is very different from anything that's come before, and I guess that's essentially what I can say because I don't want to spoil it for you or anybody else who's listening.
That's all you get.
Yeah, that's all I got for you. but we'll have a nice ending.
The ending's amazing.
My gosh, there's this scene, and I don't want to spoil it, but oh my gosh, it's so good. So good.
You're just going to have to get over it.
I'm going to try to go see it with the fam while they're all in town for Christmas bath.
That'd be good.
Yeah, look, the families are coming in town. Everybody's traveling. You're going to be out on the road and getting ready to spend all that time with the family. And one of the ways to kind of keep yourself awake as you get ready for all your travel plans and on the road and on Christmas morning when you wake up to see what the big man in red has brought you.
You got to stay well caffeinated.
You do, and you got to get it from the Bean Fruit Coffee.
That's right.
Now, beanfruit.com is the place to go. CSR is the code to use. At beanfruit.com, you'll find some delicious roasted coffees. In fact, we've got one, the Confection Seasonal Espresso.
Delicious.
Now, you ever make your own espresso before?
You know, I occasionally used to, but that's not something I really do anymore. Yeah.
This is a really good one. They kind of describe it as sweet cocoa berry with a nutty cola finish.
Wow.
I know, right?
There's a lot going on there.
Dude, Paul, the master roaster over there, dude, he's got a lot of complexities that he likes to add to his roast.
Oh, boy, knows what he's doing. Yep.
Big time, man. So check it out, beanfruit.com. Use the code CSR. That's going to get you 5% off. It's a great way to get yourself caffeinated and ready for the big day. Now, when I say the big day, you know what day I'm talking about.
Christmas. Right?
Yes, Christmas. Yes, yeah. Christmas Day, man.
That's right.
It is upon us. And, have you been a good boy this year?
No, I have not. But Santa Claus is very gracious from what I hear. Of course, I think we're about to delve into some of that. But I'm hopeful that maybe some of my shortcomings will have been overlooked. And we'll play the odds.
You know, it's interesting. I remember when I was growing up, it seemed like Santa Claus was... He was pretty strict on what counted as good. But then as I grew up, suddenly he got really loosey goosey about it. And then didn't matter what I did during the year, I always got presents.
Yeah, just do whatever you want.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Now, of course, tonight we're doing something special. Longtime listeners know that we do a series called The Heroes of the Bowl, where we talk about pipe smokers of fiction and or pipe smokers of history.
Yeah.
A lot of times these can be artists, politicians. They don't necessarily need to be heroes in the traditional sense. However, I think this one's kind of close. I mean, when you think about the fact that Santa Claus, he himself is a pipe smoker, you have to qualify him as a pipe smoking hero.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, he's somebody that we've all grown up with, and I would even argue, and I think I'm right on this, the most famous pipe smoker in all of history.
If we're talking about the generations that have gone by, and I literally mean millennia, then I think, overall, you probably have to say, yeah. I mean, and when you talk about pipe smoking heroes, everyone's like, well, okay, generally when we do a pipe smoking hero, it's like I take the historical figure, you take the fictional hero figure, and Saint Nicholas, he just kind of fits in both categories.
He fits in both. In fact,
but he's a real person.
It's interesting. Which is interesting. Yeah. Why would you imply that he wasn't? Of course, Santa Claus is real.
No. Right.
Do you not want presents this year?
No, I do. Okay. See, I'm not helping myself.
No. No, of course, Santa Claus is real. But we are talking not necessarily about the quote unquote real Santa Claus. We're talking about kind of the Americanized version of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And it is interesting because I wanted to go at this at a couple of different ways. One of the ways we could have done this, and we may do this at some point in the future,
sure,
is talk about the two characters that inspired the American Santa Claus, one of which is fiction and the other is historic.
Kind of our modernized version.
Exactly.
But then also that points back.
But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to actually look at the origins of the Americanized Santa Claus.
Okay.
What we know today to be the modern Santa Claus. And so when I was doing my research, I found that there are really kind of three individuals who are responsible. Now, there's a lot of controversy as well in terms of claims of who invented Santa Claus, but you can't talk about him and his origins, especially the true origins, which is the Santa Claus that smokes a pipe.
Right.
Because some people,
that's right,
they don't like a Santa Claus that smokes a pipe.
Yeah.
In fact, even as early as a couple years ago in 2012, there was a bit of a campaign to get rid of the pipe.
That's right. Yeah, one of our political figures in our country that everyone would know, but I'm not going to name any names, recently claimed that Santa Claus gave up smoking, which is just that person should get called.
What do you call it when you take a writing and you change it and you're not supposed to do that? Is that libel?
It's heretical.
It's heretical is what it is.
Which actually the original Saint Nick punched a heretic, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, well, let's talk about it, man. Okay, so one of the first people that you have to mention when talking about the origins of the American Santa Claus, and for simplification, I'm just going to say Santa Claus from
sure.
this point on.
Yeah.
That is Clement Clark Moore. Now, this is actually someone who has been known... as he was born in 1779. He's the author of the story A Visit from St. Nicholas, which would go on to be known today more commonly as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Oh, is that right?
That's
okay.
Correct.
So that evolved from this story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, interestingly enough, I mean, it has kind of been declared one of the most famous poems of all time.
Sure.
But it's funny, Moore actually did not want to be associated with this poem. In fact, he was an ancient language professor. And so, you know, writing this kind of whimsical child's...
Almost kind of beneath him.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote it, it's kind of beneath him. And it was actually a friend of his that published it anonymously.
Yeah.
In kind of their local paper, The Sentinel. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that Moore did, in fact, claim it as part of a publication called the New York Book of Poetry.
Okay.
Now, that was in 1837. St. Nicholas, of course, from this this poem, I mean, we've all heard 'Twas the Night Before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Can I just interject and say that when I was 3 years old, and there is VHS videotape evidence of this... in 1987 or whenever that was, I memorized the entire 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Did you really?
And I was precious.
Can you do it now?
I was precious. No.
Duh!
I can't, but at some point that video may have to resurface in a viral YouTube environment.
Man.
We'll see. Yeah.
Well, so 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, the publication that we referenced earlier in terms of the 2012 campaign to try to remove the pipe from 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Now, I want to go on record and say this. Normally, I'm not opposed to creative license as it comes to 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Sure.
Especially because for me in my house, we have always read The Cajun Night Before Christmas.
The Cajun Night Before
the
Christmas?
The Cajun Night Before Christmas.
What does that involve? Like gumbo and nutria?
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature. No, wait. Oh, man. Hang on. I wish I had it.
Oh, this is so offensive.
You know
it's
what?
Terrible.
You know what? If the listeners will allow me, I will read Cajun Night Before Christmas and include it on next week's episode.
God, it's horrifying.
I'll put it out there at the end of the credits.
Louisiana resident that's here in the audience is going to suffer.
No, look, this was a Louisiana book. Look, families in Louisiana religiously read The Cajun
good.
Night Before Christmas.
No, that makes sense.
It is done in love, and I would like to remind the listener
that
I am half Louisianian.
No, that's true.
I got a huge Catholic Cajun family.
No,
so
that's true from the bayou.
I'm just saying.
That's right.
That's not how point being. I could say it. That's what I'm saying. I could do it. But anyway, so I'm not opposed to the creative licenses. But in terms of the original, A Visit from St. Nicholas, there's kind of an argument for this creation of Santa Claus and the figures that inspired him. Of course, St. Nicholas, the actual saint. Now, was St. Nicholas, he was a patron saint? Is that how that's stated?
Well, yeah. You know, most saints that were canonized by the church had, some type of... thing that they patronized, I guess is how you'd say it. But yeah,
don't patronize.
They were very patronizing towards it. No, they were, you had patron saints for different things. And of course, over time, these things kind of got attributed to different ones. And of course, St. Nicholas was venerated in the Catholic world and Orthodox world and also the Anglican world. And occasionally you'll find, other Protestant denominations that point to him as well. But yeah, typically a patron saint of a bunch of weird stuff. And that's kind of, you see this a lot in those saints that go way back.
Right.
The saints that go way, way back. Like just a list of things that St. Nick was a patron of. Children, sailors, fishermen, broadcasters. The
really?
False.
Whoa, hang on.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he's our patron saint.
He's our patron saint.
Oh, that's delicious.
What?
That's great.
Mind blown. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Repentant thieves, brewers, which is nice, and I believe actually Saint Augustine is also a saint of beer brewers, which is kind of interesting.
Dude, that is awesome.
Pharmacists, archers, pawnbrokers, and then a host of cities across Europe and countries. So, yeah, kind of interesting. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. But so, yeah, historical figure that, you know, over the centuries, more and more kind of sects of society pointed to him as, you know, someone that they would look to intercede for them.
I love it.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Fourth century bishop. Of course, the inspiration, a very clear inspiration for the character of Saint Nick. And then also that's kind of one origin. But the other is that's kind of tied into this depiction is actually of and this is going to sound kind of interesting, but Sinterklaas, which is, of course, a Dutch character.
Yes, a Dutch character,
the Dutch,
right?
Santa Claus, essentially. Right. But essentially taking Sinterklaas and actually combining him with Odin.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Now, I'm not very familiar with Odin.
Odin was kind of the father of the Norse
gods.
It's
a Norse god,
Norse,
right?
Norse mythology.
Yeah, sure.
And a little unbeknownst to me until I kind of did some research, but Odin would actually ride an eight-legged horse. He would actually ride through the sky.
I thought four was enough.
Well, you know, when you're Odin,
sometimes you just have to up the game.
Got to get there faster. That's where you get more horsepower. Mm-hmm. Except instead of getting more horses,
terrible. Yeah,
more legs.
Yeah.
So you know, you think about this kind of bearded great figure, and then kind of combining that magical element, the flying, the number eight associated to with the travel as well.
Sure.
Considering, of course, the eight tiny reindeer.
Okay.
And how that plays in. So this is kind of what we all know today as kind of parts of the classic Santa Claus.
Right.
Now, there is a little bit of some contested nature as to what is more prominent in the American tale of Santa Claus in terms of its origins.
Okay.
One, of course, being this, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas,
right,
which has gone on to become a classic. But the other was a work that was actually done by an author that many know, which is Washington Irving.
Yeah, sure.
Legends of Sleepy Hollow, Rip Van Winkle. He was famously known for his short stories. He actually published a short story containing a character, which was Saint Nicholas. Now, this was released on Saint Nicholas Day, the Feast of Saint Nicholas, December 6th, 1809.
Wow.
So there's some predating here.
Okay.
And there is a lot of similarities in terms of his depiction of Saint Nicholas and what would kind of become the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas Saint Nicholas.
So we think maybe some of those things influence the other kind of deal.
It's very possible.
Sure.
And, you know, I think, I don't know that there's, you know, sometimes it's not like, you don't intend to copy, but there's a lot of building, and that's kind of what you see, especially in folklore,
sure,
is building upon building upon building of stories and legends and that sort of thing.
Right.
But he, Irving specifically had a short story called, and I hope I'm not butchering this too bad.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
Olaf Van Cortlandt.
Okay.
And in this short story, it depicts the character of Saint Nicholas, and it's so tied specifically with Saint Nicholas as a pipe smoker that it is definitely worth diving into this passage.
That's the one I believe in.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Now, long, long time listeners will recognize this passage because I actually read it on the show on our very first Christmas episode.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so
it's going back, what, 3 years?
But you weren't there for that. And I
it was you and Timothy, right?
It was me and
Timothy at the time, the intern.
At the time, the intern. But man, I've been waiting maybe my whole life without even knowing it, just to hear you read this passage. So if you will, do you mind reading this again?
Not at all. You're not going to get any interesting voices, and certainly not a Cajun accent. all right, here we go. So this is from Olaf von Cortland, and the quote is, "And St. Nicholas lit his pipe by the fire and sat himself down and smoked. And as he smoked the smoke from his pipe, the smoke from his pipe ascended into the air and spread like a cloud overhead, and the smoke spread over a great extent of the country. As he considered it more attentively, he fancied that the great volume of smoke assumed a variety of marvelous forms, where in dim obscurity he saw shadow out of palaces and domes and lofty spires, all of which lasted but a moment and then faded away until the whole rolled off. And nothing but green woods were left. And when St. Nicholas had smoked his pipe, he twisted it in his hatband, and laying his finger beside his nose, then mounted his wagon, he returned over the treetops and disappeared."
Wow.
Man.
Wow. So, obviously, there's a lot of similarities to Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Yeah, you know, particularly that line, laying his finger beside his nose.
Wow. That's the one that everybody points
that
to.
That got to me, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, we've got this pipe smoking saint who comes in and and flies off into the air. That finger on the nose. It's hard to argue that that did not influence specifically "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Sure, no, I agree.
Now, in some, it's interestingly enough, there is a little bit of controversy too that some would argue that Moore did not even write "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Okay, and maybe it was attributed to him. I mean, well, it was written anonymously, but
he did claim it, and I say there's controversy. There's like some college professor that made a fuss about this, you know, for a couple of years, and then you know didn't get anywhere with it. But his argument was that Moore was not actually a fan of pipe tobacco. However, that is not necessarily the case. Moore did not necessarily partake in pipe tobacco, but he was not anti-pipe tobacco.
Yeah,
which is what this professor was claiming at the time.
Okay.
I think it's all part of the conspiracy machine to try to remove the pipe from "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Give Saint Nick a nicotine patch?
No. I'll give him like what was that in some Photoshop done to remove pipes from movies where they put like a candy cane and. And Bing Crosby's nut mouth or something like that.
That's just terrible. Yeah.
All right. So this is kind of the primordial stories for what would become what we know today as Santa Claus. You'll notice in everything that we've talked about, we never talked about elves. We haven't talked about the North Pole. You know, a lot of kind of the classic mythos
that is
Santa Claus. It's never actually referenced in any of the things that we've read.
Okay.
Even though those are kind of the origin points. In fact, the reason that we have the lore of Santa Claus, and in fact, our understanding, visualization of this big, jolly, rotund, oldish elven man.
Man, so many adjectives.
There are.
Rotund. We need to use that word more often.
That is a good word.
Yeah, quite this Rubensian elf saint. Right.
These all come from an artist known by the name of Thomas Nast.
Now, Thomas Nast, is that right?
Thomas Nast,
okay.
Known as the father of the American cartoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Born in 1840, he was actually the one that really kind of took the character of Santa Claus and expounded upon him. You know, many of us, especially in the pipe smoking community, this time of year, we kind of pass around this image of Santa Claus, this big figure that kind of resembles what we imagine to the ghost of Christmas present in Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol, where you actually have this large individual who's larger than life with this great big beard and, you know, this wreath over his head. Like this kind of beautiful artistry all came out of these sketches and these stories that Thomas was kind of put together, and has become part of this man's legacy. And in fact, he's known not just for taking the character of Santa Claus to the next level, but he's also accredited for bringing us a lot of what we know today as kind of American visual classics.
Yeah, this is the part I was actually interested in because I remember this from grade school.
You know, what,
so he came up with some other stuff that we see every day, right?
That's right. So you know, we're just finally exiting a political season. And so
the Lord Jesus.
one of the things we're all very familiar with is kind of the creatures which represent each party, the elephant, the Republican elephant,
right.
The Democratic donkey.
Right.
Now these were, I don't know if personification is right when you're talking about an animal.
Yeah, but it became a mascot for the parties, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's all thanks to Thomas Nast.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting series of cartoons, I think, that came around. I'm not sure. It was late 1800s, late 19th century. But the parties kind of adopted this.
That's
you know,
right.
You had the wise Republican elephant that, you know, the Republicans kind of pointed to that, you know, and austere and wise. And then you had the donkey that the Democrats really embraced, kind of symbolizing the common man and the hard worker and, you know, the person that was striving for the American dream and all this other stuff. It's really, really fascinating.
Interestingly enough.
And then Saint Nick.
Well, and that's the thing. Saint Nicholas, of course, predates the origins of the character predate what Nast actually did in terms of his drawings.
Sure.
Same thing actually with the Democratic donkey. That usage of the animal was kind of, it was being passed around, but it really didn't take off until Nast got his hands on it.
Until he got his hands on it.
Same true for another figure in Americana, and that's the character of Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam.
Really?
Yes. So Uncle Sam existed, like that kind of personification of the slim, you know, rolled up your arms with the big hat and everything else. Okay. Uncle Sam, it existed, but it was not till Nast got his hands on him and gave him a goatee that he became iconic.
It was the facial hair.
It was the facial
hair.
It
was the facial hair.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. This is a man who
we are also iconic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. The live audience knows that our faces are often covered by these pop filters.
No, they are. I know. They hate it, too.
We're iconic, but you'll never know.
That's right.
But that's the thing, man. This is a man who's gifted with finding the potential in imagery and making it just a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
And I as I kind of researched it and I got to this place where that was kind of the jumping off point that really made me kind of want to dig in deeper into Nast. But for the purpose of this podcast, we got to focus on one thing very specifically, and that is St. Nicholas's pipe. Now, Santa Claus, as you see him depicted in a lot of photo shoots or in a lot of artwork, you see him with a lot of different pipes. And part of that is because it's never quite, you know, laid out in some of the short stories or poems what specifically kind of pipe he had.
Yeah, other characters, we, you know, kind of have a little window into, okay, they smoke this type of pipe and this type of tobacco, but we don't really have any of that for Santa Claus.
That's right. But one thing that we do have is, thanks to the work of Thomas Nast, who really did bring the character to life in a visual way, is this iconic artwork. And you see this referenced quite a bit. Now, John David, I actually have the artwork pulled up right here in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is, whenever Nast would draw the character of Santa Claus, he was always seen with a very specific pipe. How would you describe that pipe?
It's interesting. I'd call it, first word that comes to mind, obviously, is a church warden.
Yeah.
We got a long stem church warden pipe. But the way Nast drew it is interesting because it's always, if you're familiar with a falcon pipe made by the Falcon Company, they have the metal shank with the screw-in bowl that kind of goes on top. And the way Nast drew this particular pipe, the pipe kind of sits on top of the shank, which is interesting. It kind of reminds me of that falcon style, but very long, just a very gentle, very delicate curve on that pipe with a kind of a round bowl. And, you might think of it as, you know, probably being a clay pipe, I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe a reed or something, but I would think probably made of clay.
So I feel like the only times I've seen that shape is very specifically in a clay pipe. Is there any particular reason for that? Like, does it have to do with the fact that the stem is on the base of the bowl as opposed to going straight in?
You know, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think that might just be more of a artistic, stylistic thing, you know, that Nast pulled off. I'm not sure, because a lot of old clay pipes you see were actually cutty style. You know, there were pipes that ended in the bowl, and the bowl kind of canted forward in this, what we now refer to as a cutty. But an interesting take on it. You know, it's got the bowl sitting on top of the stem, which then goes out and leads in a very, very long pipe. We're talking about a long church warden here, that would fill up Santa's mouth with his favorite smoke.
What I find interesting is that pipe didn't, with so much that Nast brought to that you know, visualizing of the character, that particular pipe style didn't carry along with
it. It didn't really stick, did
like,
it?
Well, yeah. Like I said, I mean, you know, you see a revisit whenever you go to that classic imagery of that particular pipe, but you only see it when you're making a nod to that classic imagery.
That's right.
A lot of times you'll see just Santa Claus, you almost feel like, especially with some of those Photoshop pictures, like they just gave the actor like, oh, here's a pipe, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Like, we had one later thought as to why Santa would choose that specific pipe and why does that even make sense.
Santa with like a calabash or something. Doesn't make it. You're like a 1950s straight billiard or something.
See, in those Photoshop shots, they wouldn't even give him a calabash pipe, because be like, oh, you look like Sherlock Holmes now. That's a Sherlock Holmes, even though that's not even a Sherlock Holmes
pipe. Know, right? Exactly.
I guess we're getting into pipe snob territory.
Yeah, we kind of are. But what's interesting is occasionally you would see it when there was a nod to the Thomas Nast artwork. And I love this. We were talking about this before the show a little bit. We talk about Christmas cheer a lot, the tobacco, of course, from McClelland on the show. And you know, we talked about some of our favorite Christmas blends last week, as a matter of fact. But Christmas cheer always has an insert underneath the lid of their tobacco. Yeah. And it's always got Santa Claus kind of crouched down. He looks like he's maybe resting by a tree. He's got his big pack on and his hat, his belly's kind of hanging forward, and he's smoking his pipe. and it's that Thomas Nast pipe. It's that long stem pipe with the bowl kind of protruding from the top of the shank, and so that in some ways it carries over, but it's a very unique style and a very specific way people draw them that where you see that. So
I got to tell you, now the more that I've learned, especially just kind of the origins of the artwork and how influential that was in terms of bringing into being what we now know as Santa Claus, I kind of want one of those pipes.
Yeah.
Yet I really don't want a clay pipe. So I don't know. Something's got
to
happen.
I'll have to work on that.
Somebody out there, surely there's got to be a briar pipe in that style.
That looks kind of like that.
I would hope so.
We need a briar falcon bowl church warden.
Calling all pipe
None
farmers.
Of that exists, right?
No, man. Look, there's some great stuff that you can do this year in terms of gifts and that sort of thing. And you know, one of the great things that you can do in terms of getting gifts is make sure that you're getting the gift of a beautiful pipe from Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right. Of course, a lot of folks are going to get brand new tobaccos this Christmas in their stocking, and there's no better way to try a new tobacco than in your Missouri Meerschaum pipe. You know, you get a real clean smoke. It's one that gives you the opportunity to taste the flavors for what they really are. And the folks at Missouri Meerschaum make great smoking instruments just for that purpose.
Yeah, man. I do wonder. I wonder if they could. Phil, if you're listening.
Oh, yeah. Phil, if you're listening, yeah.
Could you pull off the
a St. Nick series, huh?
St. Nicholas pipe. That would be... Yeah. That'd be difficult, because, I mean, that's a tiny bowl.
It's a tiny bowl, and it's a long stem.
It's a very long stem.
Now, you know, the folks at Missouri Meerschaum, they've come up with some long stem pipes that are wildly popular. Obviously, you've got the Cobbett series.
Ooh, yeah.
And even the MacArthur series. You know, these are long stem pipes that not just have a long shank, but also a long ebonite stem as well, which is kind of nice. But, if anyone could do it, I think they could.
I mean, if anyone can pull it off in a corncob way, I mean, like, that's the great thing about Missouri Meerschaum. They put a lot of thought into all of their products, get some great quality stuff out there. If you've never checked them out, you should. Great little stocking stuffers for your loved ones or, you know, for yourself. Check them out. Be sure, hey, if you happen to either get or enjoy your Missouri Meerschaum pipe this Christmas, be sure to take a picture, send it in to us at Squire Radio, and we'll be sure to retweet that out. Big thanks to the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum for helping make this show happen, and thank all of you for helping make them happen.
That's right.
Yes.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pipe question of the week. Let's see. Pipe question of the week this week comes in from listener Alex McCaslin. Alex writes in, he says, "Hey, Bo and John David, I've got a question about smoking indoors. What is the best way to keep the smell from becoming overwhelming?
Yeah.
I know there are candles that claim to get rid of the smell, but I'm skeptical as to their efficiency. Do you have any tips?" He also says, "Thanks for all that you do and putting on the amazing podcast every week. Y'all are like my own personal pipe club, since I am far too introverted to go and actually meet a real one." Well, Alex, thank you for that question.
But not too introverted to write in and have your name blasted all over the internet.
No, this is true. Hey, look, great. Good for you, Alex, man. And hey, if you feel like we're part of your pipe club, have we got some news for you next year?
Ooh,
stay
that's
tuned.
Exciting.
That's
yeah.
a tease right
yeah,
there.
That's right.
Great question. Combating indoor pipe smell.
Yeah.
Referencing candles specifically.
Yeah. Interesting. I was actually talking to Caleb, the intern, earlier about this, because I have had very mixed results with pipe candles or tobacco candles. He has had a very positive experience with them. And what Caleb does is he actually lights the candle and lets it burn for about 10 minutes just to get that the plenty of oil in the candle lit and melted and lots of that aroma going, I guess. I don't know exactly how it works, but and then he lights his pipe after that. So he gives kind of his candle a head start in order to work. So you may try that if you've got a candle. It might be at least worth trying. to mitigate the smoke inside, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. Obviously, you've got two things, like prevention from stinking or cleaning up the stink. And so, you know, obviously you can use things like Febreze or some type of, air neutralizer to, cover it up. But what most people really are interested in is how to filter the smoke, how to make it less so. And one thing, if you're going to try to do this, you need to keep in mind, an air filter, just a filter like you might put in your air conditioner at the house. You know, if you own a home or if you take care of your own home, you know, you probably are familiar, I hope so anyway, of, changing the air filter out in your ductwork or whatever. And that, although it'll help somewhat, is just not gonna get the job done. You know, if you're really looking to get rid of those particles that are, you know, what create that kind of soot smell after the fact. So in the shop here, we have the luxury of, having enough of this to where we, you know, have to go out and get it. But we got some of these ionizers, and what these big units do, they're called smoke eaters is the brand, but they actually ionize the smoke particles in the air. So it's ionizing these smoke particles that are going to attach to something else if they're not collected, and make them stick by electric charge to these metal plates. And so they actually make stuff like this for your house that is a little more reasonable in cost and quieter. But, you know, they're still, you know, going to cost you some. I'd check with, you know, local folks like maybe a Home Depot or a Lowe's or something like that. Look online for smoke ionizers, smoke eaters, things like that, that are specifically meant for smoke. But so there are ways to help out, but you're just not going to get a lot of results from a filter. You're going to need to look for something that ionizes the particles like that. Unless you just want to, you know, cover it up after the fact. Maybe you just smoke, you know, in your house once every couple months or something, and maybe a bottle of Febreze is really all you need.
I can't stand Febreze.
And then I'd just rather have the lingering pipe smoke.
I mix it. Like, the thing is, I'm like, all right, you know, if you want to counter it with something complimentary. Febreze, it's typically like you got the two smells that are combating each other, and like the result is just
the Febreze just kind of wins out because it smells like fruit liniments.
It smells awful is what it smells like. You know, I think you can find some great pipe tobacco candles out there, right? I mean, like,
yeah, try them out. You know, I mean, like the intern says, he's had good success with them. I've been skeptical over the years and have had customers that have been, but you know, Caleb's idea of kind of letting the candle have a head start, it might have some merit to it.
Yankee Candle has a candle called Santa's Pipe. That is actually one of their scented candles.
Yeah, I think they do. Now, I don't know how much that would work at covering it up.
No, that's what I'm saying. Get something that complements it.
That makes sense.
It might just kind of become part of the natural.
Kind of makes it a better thing. Kind of augments it.
You mentioned the smoke eaters. I mean, aside from, you know, your own personal smoking lounge, I mean, do barbecue places, would those also kind of use that type of technology?
You know, I'm not sure. You used to see a lot of smoke eaters in the restaurant industry, but honestly, it was mostly because you used to have smoking sections in restaurants. And so, you just don't see much of that anymore. I love going to our local Irish pub that's in our neighborhood, you know, because you look up at the ceiling, they've still got the smoke eaters up there that were last used, you know, in, 2008 or whatever, you know, last time you could smoke in that restaurant.
That's crazy.
It's been a long time. So, yeah, I'm just not really sure.
Interesting. All right. Well, fair enough. Well, that's a great question, Alex. We really appreciate that. You writing in. And like I say, in terms of us, you feeling like you're part of a pipe club, well, stay tuned. Big things coming in 2017.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire questions.
Ow!
All right, man. Quick fire questions coming in from Mango Andy.
What a great name.
Over on thispipelife.com, the amazing forums at thispipelife.com, which we'll talk about in just a minute here. But first he writes, I wrote these with my 9-year-old son consulting me.
Okay.
All right. He wanted to preface us with that.
Okay. Okay.
Here we go. And he's got them kind of sectioned off, and he got a whole laundry list here. So it's going to take us well through the next year.
Okay. Good.
Consuming information is the topic.
Okay.
Here are your quick fire questions.
Okay. So you're receiving information.
Receiving it.
All right. Go ahead.
Podcast or videocast?
You know, as a podcaster, I'm going to shamefully answer videocast. So if I were really into Country Squire Radio and weren't producing, or I don't produce anything, but weren't hosting Country Squire Radio,
there you go.
Then I would love, preferably, to tune in to the live video show.
Interesting.
There's something about a visual element there that is very, I connect to it a lot easier.
Really?
So, yeah, I'd have to go with video.
All right. So for me, I mean, it's probably because of, I'm big into the world of audio, but yeah, for me, podcast is easier because I can multitask.
That's
like,
right.
With the
That's
video,
right.
I always feel like, don't get me wrong, when I'm doing a bunch of different things, I'll typically have a video up in the background. But a lot of times in terms of like I'm mobile, I'm moving, I'm traveling, I tend to rely more on podcasts in terms of gathering information. Plus I like the style of long-term or long-form communication as opposed to kind of short snippets, which video tends to
lean more towards. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really depends.
Bite size consumable. Yeah.
It really depends on what I'm doing. Like if I'm cooking something and I just want a quick recipe, then I go video. But if I want to like learn something like history or, you know, game mechanics or pipe tobacco, I think I'd probably lean towards podcasts.
Lean towards a podcast.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a fair. Good question.
I kind of feel bad. Like as a podcaster, I'm like, you know, I think I
well, you're also a video caster.
I am. We're doing that right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
They get the they get the video cast there. All right. Next up, ebook. Or actual paper book.
It kills me to say this because I would. It seems like I would so firmly fit in the other camp, but I'm a Kindle reader.
You've got to be kidding me.
I really am.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm a Kindle reader. I cannot tell you the last time I opened up a paperback or hardback novel. Like I read on. Ooh, can't believe I'm about to say this. My iPhone. I read on my iPhone 6S. That's what I do. I pull open the Kindle app, and that's how I read. You know, typically, I'm laying in bed or, you know, just, sitting on the couch, quiet evening. But I read on my doggone iPhone.
And we're talking
books. Probably why I have really big glasses here. I've read 1,200-page novels before on my iPhone.
On your iPhone.
Oh, it's terrible.
No, I I mean, in terms of convenience, it's hard to beat. The Kindle app. In fact, there was a period of time which I almost exclusively was reading from the Kindle app, but ultimately I went back to books just because I liked kind of being able to hold the book and to kind of let the world know, don't bother me now, I'm reading. I'm not sitting here tweeting, I'm not texting, I'm not doing something that can be easily interrupted. I'm into something that if you're going to pull me out of it, you need to know that, like, you know, you're pulling me out of it.
You know what's interesting? I read, so much of my reading is at this very strange time of the day when I'm trying to go to sleep. Okay. I read in bed a lot of times when I'm trying to go to sleep. And so it's easy for me to kind of, you know, have the phone there just right next to me where I'm not having to sit up and turn pages and things like that. And so maybe that's kind of a part of it is actually where and when and how I'm reading, you know. But if anyone knows me, you know, they would probably put me in the paper book category very firmly, but I read on my iPhone.
And the John David acolytes out there, they're ripping off their wigs immediately. He's completely turned their worlds upside down.
They wear wigs.
Yeah, yeah. They dress up in your checkered shirts and your your Coke bottle glasses.
Sure, surely got better things to do than that.
Hey, man, don't hate the acolytes. And then finally, news via television or news via internet?
Internet. Yeah.
What's a television?
Yeah, I haven't turned one of those on in years. Yep. Actually, I turn one on at the shop every day, but.
No, I'm serious. What's a television?
That's the thing you play your Xbox on.
Bro. Oh, an Xbox monitor. Gotcha.
That's right.
All right, I got you now.
That's right.
I got you. Yeah, no, internet. I mean, I still, I kind of, somebody was asking me this the other day in terms of like, where do you get your news? Like, what's your trusted news source? And I didn't.
Trusted news source.
I know,
isn't that an oxymoron?
I didn't have an answer to that. I think it was more of like, you know, I mean, known brands are more trusted than kind of like, you know, your grandmother's favorite, you know, email website or something like that.
But, right.
But for the most part, it was just kind of like, you know, the conversation of the day, which I don't know, maybe there's a philosophical conversation that should be had about that, but not here and not now. All right. Excellent quick fire questions.
Yeah, those are great.
We almost disagreed on everything.
Yeah.
Almost.
Almost.
Almost. So that was, you either almost were a winner or a loser. Not sure how it goes, Mango, but really appreciate you getting those questions in and the laundry list. Got a huge list of questions that he and his 9-year-old son put together for us over on thispipelife.com. Now, thispipelife.com, an awesome online community containing a really great forum where you can connect with other pipe smokers like yourself, find out things that are going on in terms of events, find wonderful articles, fireside chats with some of the big names in the pipe world, which include Mr. John David Cole. There's even a fireside chat with us as well, which
is
kind of
put me next to the other big names. That's kind of terrifying.
Well, no, I'm there too, so that should bring you down.
Yeah,
you
that brings it even further.
Exactly.
Down. Yeah.
Exactly. but check it out, thispipelife.com. It's because it is a pipe tobacco community. It does require you to register, and when you do, use the code CSR. That's CSR when you register at thispipelife.com. It's free to do, but it'll get you in the door. CSR to register at thispipelife.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. Listener feedback this week. We've got an iTunes review that came in from Hunter's Cobb. You want to read Hunter's Cobb?
Hunter's Cobb, he says, or she says, what an amazing show. Very fun and informative podcast. I love how much detail JD and Bo go into with their discussions on pipes and pipe tobacco. They have helped me learn the art of the pipe, as I didn't have someone to show me how. Keep up the amazing work. It is appreciated by all of us pipe lovers. Man, that's great. Thank you, Hunter's Cobb. We appreciate it and are glad that we've been helpful to you, particularly, you know, someone that hasn't had that person to kind of walk with you along the way. So we're very, very glad.
We've also been getting some great commentary in from the live show tonight. We've gotten Chase Abels, who says, what was that accent Bo just did? It's definitely not Cajun. I wasn't prepared. I should have prepared for it.
But, I mean, off the cuff, it was fine.
Tune in next week.
Slightly offensive.
You'll hear my slight, you'll hear my Cajun night before Christmas, and it'll be either the worst or best thing that you'll have ever heard all season. We also have some shout outs to a lot of folks who are not able to make it tonight because they're off traveling. They're with their families, picking up kids, going to see movies like Star Wars Rogue One.
That's right.
So it's a busy night for a lot of folks. But it is great to see a lot of shout outs here. Great to see a live show. We got Russ Hicks tuning in. He says, great to see a live show after being gone for 8 weeks. Russ, of course, listener who is somewhat of a globetrotter.
That's right.
Globetrotter,
I should say.
And
he's been spending a lot of time in France, actually. Yeah.
Mais oui. Wait. Paris. Oui.
I don't think he was in Paris weeing at all. He might have been croissanting, but not.
Maybe.
Croissantering.
We got also @dcollar who sent in a picture referencing specifically the Santa Claus artwork that we were talking about.
I was sure
to retweet that as soon as we got it.
Yeah,
and then also Hawker the Love Doctor tweeted in with some advice to for the pipe question of the week this week, saying, "I've heard washing the walls with watered down vinegar can help decrease the smoke smell."
Yeah.
He says he also got a small ionized air puffer or purifier from Target for $30, and he says it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I only smoke with the heavy door open, screen door closed.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Guys, we love getting all of your feedback in, both during the live show as well as throughout the week. You know, right now we are coming on, I mean, we're here. Christmas is like right around the corner.
That's it.
New Year's is to follow. Next week for the podcast, we've got kind of a special one that we're doing in terms of mixing it up a little bit, bringing you guys into our local Christmas party. However, there will not be a live show next week. We will be returning following, which is the first week of January, if I'm doing my math right.
That's right. No, that is.
Great. And that means y'all can tune in on Monday nights starting at the beginning of the year and throughout the year. We are going to have some really big news to share with you guys on the first week of January, our live show back. You're going to want to tune in live for that one so that you can be the first to know about it. Because then if you're finding out about it on the podcast later, you might be a little late to the game. If ever you were to tune into a live show,
in the know.
I'm just saying, that's the one to be there for. You can, of course, tune in the first week of January on Monday night. That's going to be 6:30 Pacific, 6:30 Central, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. CountrySquireRadio.com is the place. Keep up with us throughout the break, though. You can follow us at Squire Radio is the show. You can follow me at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And all that contact information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, men.
Man, it was great. Bo, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, brother. We got a lot of fun stuff to look forward to. I've already been filling up on sweets and good food, and I got a lot more sweets and good food to look forward to in the coming days here. So it's going to be a good one. Hey, let's go have a night.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.